Now, Russia says a senior military officer has been killed in a car explosion just east of Moscow. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, is on his way to Moscow again. The visit comes after the Russian foreign minister said his country was ready to reach a deal to end the Ukraine war. In Ukraine, the mayor of Kyiv suggested the country may have to give away territory as part of any peace deal. For his assessment of developments, we're joined by Donika O'Bakoin, who's Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. Donika, thanks for being with us this lunchtime. I know it's early days, but what do you make of this explosion just outside Moscow?
Well, it is a rather spectacular attack. It comes out of the blue, as these things generally do. The Ukrainians haven't claimed responsibility and indeed may never do. They tend not to comment on these things. This is a pattern that has been established during the war. Periodically, these types of assassinations occur. This individual was a very senior ranking individual in the Russian armed forces, a major general. There was a similar attack carried out last December against General Igor Kirillov, where a bomb exploded. It was placed in an electric scooter. This one was in a car, and it seems that the general was passing by the car, and then it blew up with a remote device. So these kinds of attacks, they do grab headlines, and of course they are a morale boost for Ukrainians, but experience demonstrates that they are unlikely to change the course of the war.
Let's talk about other developments. From what we know, any potential peace deal seems to be very much on Russia's terms. So I suppose the question is, will Ukraine accept a deal that sees it ceding some territory to Russia?
Well, I mean, there has been attention focused on the comments of the mayor of Kyiv today, who said that, you know, it was foreseeable that as part of a deal that Ukraine might temporarily have to acknowledge that Russia was in occupation of parts of Ukraine. That's not as startling as it may first appear, even though it did attract a negative comment from Zelensky's office, presidential office. President Zelensky himself, in an interview with Sky News last November, did also touch on this issue of temporarily acknowledging that it was unlikely that Ukraine would get back those territories in the very near future. But there was a precedent, of course, for that in Europe. I mean, the Kremlin occupied large parts of Europe during the Cold War. There was an Iron Curtain, and generally there was a lack of recognition for those, the legitimacy of those regimes, but it was acknowledged that they existed. And I think that's what the kind of language that he was talking about. In terms of what, you know, whether Ukraine would accept a plan as is kind of being proposed by the US, it's very difficult to see them doing that, because it's not so much a proposal as an ultimatum that's been presented to Ukraine. There is a lot of carrots and a lot of incentives for Russia. Russia gets a lot of what it wants. Indeed, it could have been almost devised in the Kremlin. It gets to keep the territories that it has illegally seized since the beginning of this full-scale invasion. And indeed, there may be territories that Ukraine still holds that have to be handed over as part of this package. It seems that the US would relax sanctions against Russia. There would be no effective security guarantees for Ukraine. Indeed, they might have to demilitarize completely and leave themselves vulnerable to future attack. So it just doesn't seem like a realistic, sustainable proposal. It seems more like Ukraine is a suicide deal for Ukraine. So it doesn't have much traction in Ukraine. This is very much a bilateral arrangement between the US and Russia. And I think that's emblematized by the fact that Steve Witkoff is in Moscow today. And I think what will happen is that you'll see an absolutely unsustainable proposal put to Ukraine. Ukraine will be compelled to turn it down. And then Trump will, as he has been doing all along, will put the onus of responsibility for that breakdown on Ukraine. Even though Ukraine is the one that has agreed to a 30-day unconditional ceasefire, Russia has not. Russia continues to attack civilian infrastructure as it has been doing the last few days. But the whole emphasis has been on, you know, making Ukraine concede in a way, as I said, that's not sustainable.
Is it also likely, though, that Donald Trump would withdraw American military support for Ukraine if Ukraine says no to any proposed deal?
Well, this is it. I mean, Ukraine is between really a rock and a hard place, because it's been offered this, as I said, unsustainably bad deal, and it's been told that the alternative is even worse, that, for example, the vital intelligence sharing that Ukraine relies upon to defend itself against incoming missiles, that could be withdrawn, as it was briefly already 2 months ago. So, you know, and of course, Europe is not yet in a position to fill the void that an American withdrawal would make. So it's essentially applying pressure on Ukraine by saying, look, we can make you even more vulnerable now than you are to Russian attacks. And therefore, to use Donald Trump's continuous phrase, you don't have the cards, you don't have the ability to defend yourself if we withdraw the support that we already give you. And of course, it's important to emphasize what's not in the plan for Ukraine. I mean, there's no accountability for war crimes. There's no talk of the abducted children coming back. You know, Putin is a wanted man in front of the International Criminal Court. You know, what happens to the refugees, to their properties, to those people who are still under occupation? You know, who will provide security for Ukraine? Who will reconstruct Ukraine? I mean, all those issues are not being discussed. It's all about handing over territory to Russia, which they've illegally seized, essentially rewarding aggression.
Donika O'Bakon, thank you for being with us on the News at 1.